Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today is Daf Yomi is Ksubos Tzadivov. We are right on top of the Amud and picking up where we left off yesterday. We started a Mishnah of the new Perek, that an Almona is Nizoynes Menichse Yisoymim, right? An Almona is sustained, she gets her Mizoynes from the Yisoymim's assets. We had a question regarding semantics, spelling. The second word in the Mishnah, Nizoynes. Is it such, Nizoynes, which indicates it's a constant, it's an absolute halacha. Almona Nizoynes Menichse Yisoymim. Unless, of course, she gets paid up to Iksuba, but that's her decision. It's her prerogative. But the Yisoymim must feed her without a choice. It's not up to them. Or is it HaNizoynes? We add the hey, which indicates that it's arbitrary. It's up to them. If they choose, they can just, you know, pay her the Ksuba, and it's over. No more Mizoynes, which is actually a machlekes we had way back when between the Anshei Golil and the Anshei Yehuda. So the question is, what did the Stam Mishnah, the anonymous Mishnah, have in mind, which would indicate the actual halacha? Says the Gemara, Toshma, and come. Listen to this raya. Amari b'zeir, Amar Shmuel, Metzias almana la'atzma. Typically, what a wife finds, a metzia, goes to her husband. Look, he takes care of her, he feeds her. It's only right that she gives him what she finds. But a mitzia of an almana, la'atzma, she keeps. Stop. End of halacha in the name of Shmuel. Now, let's analyze the halacha. Why are we treating an almana different than a married woman? Here as well. It's not the husband feeding, but the husband's assets. The kids are taking care of her. Why don't they deserve the mitzia? I amr speshleima ha'nezoynes tenan shaper. Okay, that works well for yet a day. Hey, it's arbitrary. It's up to them. They're not really bound and committed to her mizoynes. And therefore, we don't treat it like a husband and wife relationship. She keeps the metziah. Eli amras nizoynes tznan, but if it's absolute, it's not up to them. They must feed her until she decides to leave. Then nehavu kebal, let us treat it like a husband and wife, and therefore ma'abal metziahs isha labal, just by a married couple. Her metziah goes to her husband, the chanam here as well. They're feeding her, taking care of her. Metziahs isha liyarshim. What she finds should go over to them. Answer. Lo'ilam emalacha. Perhaps I'll say nizoynes tznan, which indicates that it is an absolute arrangement. They have to keep on feeding her without any way of backing out other than, you know, her agreeing to leave. Question is, why doesn't she forward any findings to them? What about the metziah? The answer is tama mai. Omar abonan metziahs isha labala. Truth to be told, what is the reason, the actual time, why Chachamim established this arrangement, that what Isha finds goes to her husband, so that it doesn't generate a feeling of animosity, of contention. Look, I'm taking care of you. It's only right for you to give me something that you find. That's typical, right? But over here, with the Yisaimim, they're not husband and wife, and there's no issue of Eva, Rashi says. They're forced to give her Mizoynes in any case. There's a Tanai Kusuba compelling them to do that. We're not concerned about Eva getting in the way of them taking care of her. There's no need for her to give them her Mitziah. Omar Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina. Now that we say that the Yisoyim have to feed the Isha, even if it's not their mother, their stepmother, it's only right that, you know, she looks after the household. As per the halacha of a regular Isha back on the Fnontes, kol melachis sha'isha oisa labal, all those household chores and tasks that typically a woman does in the home, cooking, baking, etc., due to the fact that he's taking care of her and he's feeding her. Likewise, an almana, oisa l'yarshim, a almana will perform for the yarshim, take care of the house, except for specific, things that a wife deliberately does for her husband to generate dearness and closeness. Chutz mizigas hakoyis, serving their drinks, vatzas amita, making their beds, v'arachotzas panav yad v'raglav, washing hands and feet. So that's specific to a wife for her husband. That's it brings chibo and hergal davar, but is inappropriate when it comes to the yisayim. Omar b'shul malevi, on the topic of serving your husband, etc. Call melachos she eved oisel l'rabbi. Any tasks that a slave typically performs for his master, talmud oisel l'rabbi. Likewise, a student will do for his rabbi to show honor and respect. Except chutz me'atoras minel, except for taking off his shoes. That's totally demeaning. And Rashi says, somebody looking at that will think, well, this fellow is an Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish slave, and therefore we don't allow a Talmud to do that for his Rebbe. Amar Rava, lo yamaran, that's only a concern, al b'mokim shem nakirin oisei, if he's not a known personality. So they might think that he's an Eved. Aval b'mokim shem nakirin oisei, but if he's in a town where everybody knows, well, this fellow is a regular Yid, less than above, there's no concern for being confused with an Eved. Amar Rav Ashi, furthermore, even if they don't know this person firsthand, there still will not be a concern unless he's not wearing his tefillin. But if he's walking around with his tefillin, there's no concern because Rashi and Tosfos both learned that an Eved typically does not wear tefillin, so it's pretty clear who he is. If a Rebbe is uncomfortable, he doesn't want his Talmud to serve him. Look, I'm managing, don't want to burden you. You're not doing him a favor. It's a schus for him. You know, sometimes it's a chesed to offer, and sometimes it's a chesed to receive an offering. You're doing him a favor. So if he's moineya, if he prevents his Talmud from being meshameshim, ki'ilu moineya mimenu chesed, it is as though he is withholding from him a favor. Shenemar lamas mereyehu, if he distances himself from his friend, from his Talmud, doesn't allow him to serve him, chesed, he is preventing him from having chesed. In this case, taking is actually a favor. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, af perek mimenu Yerushamayim, he's not allowing him to have proper Yerushamayim, which comes when he services and he gets close to his Rebbe. Shenemar v'yirah shaka yazai, if he abandons Yerushamayim. Omar Belazar, on a different topic. Almanu shatafsa metatlin b'mezayin esir. So, an almana would like to have, you know, her mezaynes, and it's after her husband's passing, and she grabs hold of some metatlin to post for her mezaynes, to sell off her mezaynes. Masha tafsa, that's it. She has it, it's hers. And Rashi points out, even though the halacha is that when it comes to these claims, you can only claim from karka, which is typically, you know, real estate is something which typically the people depend on, and that's the item of the shibud that's committed to you. But if you grab metatlin, you got it. Taninami, how can we find the same in a price? Almana shatafsa metatlin b'mezeneseha. What happens then? Masha tafsa, it's hers. V'chenki osur avdimi, he said the same halacha. Amar, in fact, it was a story to back this up. Masa b'kala, it was a story involving the daughter-in-law, Shel Rab Shabsai. Shatafsa, she grabbed, she was an almana, she got a hold of diskia, a leather pouch, malaya may is filled with coins, for the sake of her mezainais, v'lo yehoya koyach b'yad chachamim, lo yitzim yada, chachamim were unable to take it away from her. Amra avina v'lo yamar, this is only true, ela le mezaini, for the sake of buying mezainais, because she can't go to lekuches, she can't go to customers who have purchased her husband's properties, because, as we learned way back, mezainis is something undefined, it's open-ended, it's not a defined amount. It's unfair to hold the customers of her husband's properties accountable for this type of claim. So in this case, we allow her to keep something which she grabbed. Avol ksuba, but if she grabbed something to pay for her ksuba, something which she can easily go and extract properties that were sold, mafkidim, we know we take it away from her. Maskifla, mar baravashi, he has the kasha on this distinction. Maishnon luksuba de mimakarki vlema metatli, why? Is it that when it comes to ksuba, you don't allow let her keep the metatlin because a ksuba claim is directed at mekarka? That's the typical claim. Real estate, you can't just allow it to keep metatlin. Well, mezainis nami, mi mekarki velim metatlin. Typically, mezainis is meant to be claimed from real estate, not metatlin. Oh, so why are you making that difference between one and the other? Elul mezaini mai de tafsa tafsa. So that's l'chatchila, but once she has the metatlin, if it's mezaini, you let her keep it. Hachinami l'ksuba, likewise for ksuba payout, if she's already holding the metatlin, leave it by her. What is the halacha? Amalei Rav Yitzchak, when Rav Tolli, li Ravina, he tells Ravina, who was the one that made that distinction. You can grab from mezainis, but not from for ksuba. In fact, hachi amrinon mishmei the Rava kavaseich. In fact, we heard in the name of Rava exactly as you said, tvisa is effective for mezainis because there isn't really another recourse. She can't go to the lekuches, so tvisa works, but not by ksuba. Here comes a chiddush. Amar b'yechnan mishmei the Rav Yosi ben Zimra. So you have an almana who is meant to get mezainis. Problem is, she didn't bother collecting her mezainis. It's already 2-3 years gone by. She shas, so she waited around. Shtayim v'shalei shanim v'loy tava mezainis. It's already 2-3 years after death. We don't hear anything from her. She's not claiming mezainis. We assume, ibda mezainis, she lost it, she gave it up. Why don't you say anything? Asks the Gemara, 2 or 3? Hashta shtayim ibda ksevasa. 2 years already gives her this halacha, she loses the ksuba, the mezainis, sholosh mibaya. It goes without saying, why do you have to say 2 or 3? If 2 does the trick, then certainly if it's longer than 2, 3, like Kasha, the answer is it depends what kind of situation we're speaking about. Sometimes 2 is applicable, sometimes 3. Kam be'aniya, when we say 2 years, that's by a poor woman, why do you wait so long? Apparently, you were uncaring about that claim. Kam be'ashira, if she's a wealthy woman, was able to sort of last it out. So until 3 years, there's no raya that she was meicher. Inami, another pshat, kam beprutza, kam betznua. If she was a modest woman, she's uncomfortable going to Bezdin. So then we give her 3 years to gather courage. Until then, we don't assume she forgave it. But if it's a prutza, Isha is not bashful, then what are you doing keeping quiet? You should have come to Bezdin to collect. 2 years, no collection, it's over. Amarov. This forgiving of mezainis pertains only to back claims. But certainly going forward, she can get up and say, look, I'm still an almana, you owe me the mezainis, let's go for it, going on, going forward. Here comes an interesting question. Rashi learns. Yisoyimim claim, look, we gave you an advance payment for the next year of mezainis. We gave it to you already. And she denies. What are you talking about? I never got it. Al Mila Haviraya, who's going to have to prove their point? Typically, the one who wants to get paid has to prove his case. He is the Maitzi Mechaveri. Well, over here, we're not sure how to deal with it. Who is the Muchsak? Who's the one that's sort of in possession of this claim? Shall we say Nichsei, the possessions, the assets, Becheskas Yasmi Kaimi, is in the hands of the Yisoyimim, Val Almana La Haviraya, and she has to go prove her point. She's trying to take out of them. Oidumo, perhaps you can say otherwise. Nichsi, the husband's assets, becheskas almona kaimi, truthfully in the hands of the almona. She has the strong claim, Tosis explains. It's an ongoing claim. You have to feed me. It's a known fact that I am due mezainis. I don't have to verify my claim against you. Vala yisoyimim laviraya, just the opposite. You have to prove that you're exempt, that you're a potter. Tashmai comes a raya. The Tani Levi, almona, well, it depends whether she remarried or not. Kolzman shalinisis, she hadn't yet remarried, and she's still a subject of this claim. She can still have mezoinos. Allah yisoyimim laviray. Then, if there's any disagreement, the yisoyimim have to verify their claim. She is in the right. Nisis, once she remarried, and she no longer has the right to collect the ksuba. So in that case, she's trying to claim some back pay. Aleha laviraya, she has to prove her case because they are not considered in full possession. She's already lost her mezainist rights going further. So even when she's back claiming, it's incumbent upon her to prove her case. Omar Afsimi Bar Ashi Kitanei, perhaps this question of whether she has to prove or they have to prove is a machlekes tanoi. Here goes a price. So the Isha, the Almana, would like to sell some properties for the ksuba, for the mezainos, meicheres, she can sell, v'kesevis. She has to keep a detailed record. Elu lemezainos, mecharti, these properties I sold for mezainos, ve'elu l'ksuba, mecharti, these for the ksuba. Everything has to be detailed with clarity. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, meicheres, v'kesevis, stam. All she has to do is sell. She doesn't have to actually write into the document, I sold it for this or that purpose. Stam. Undefined, undesignated, and it's better for her. It's to her benefit. That's the best way for her. End of price. What's the machlekes? Why take records? Why not? My love, shall we assume, Bahakamiflugi, the point of Machlekes is as follows. Our very question. Little Rabbi Yehuda de Ba'amar, Boy Lefrushi, Rabbi Yehuda who maintains that she has to detail into the document what the purpose of the sale is, because that's going to substantiate the purpose of the sale. He figures, Savar, Nichsi Becheskas Yasmi Kaimi. We treat the Nechasim as though they are in full possession, they are in the possession of the Yisraim. The Yisraim are in full possession of what's going on here. And should there be any disagreement between the Yisraim and the Almana, who has to prove their claim? The Almana. V'al Almana lavi raya. She has to bring a raya. And therefore, what does this have to do with detailing the transactions? Rashi explains. Because otherwise, eventually when she wants to come and claim Mezonos, you know what the Yisraim can tell her? What do you mean? You already sold off properties. You got your ksuba. Once you got your ksuba, that's it. No more Mezonos. That's the halacha. You're done. And she'll say, well, okay, fine. But remember, you know, we still have an account. We have a balance. You still owe me for past Mezonos. And they'll say, what do you mean? We gave it to you already. There's no way for her to disprove them. Therefore, she should detail. She should describe in the actual documents what she's selling and why she's selling it for. This way she can say, look, Noah, I sold this for Mezonos. I never got paid up my ksuba. What are you talking about? So it's to her benefit to actually detail the purpose of the sale into the shtar. Otherwise, they'll win the case. Rabbi Yisi disagrees. She's in the right. Rabbi Yisi, Savar, Loi Boy Lefrushi, there's no need for her to describe and explain why she's selling things. Why? At the end of the day, she'll win the case regardless. She's the muhsik. Nichsi becheska samana kaimi. Everything is considered in her hands. Vala yisoimim lavi raya. And they have to prove it otherwise. Says the Gemara. We might, perhaps we don't have to hinge this discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi on our question of who is the muhsik. We might dilma de kuli alma nichsi becheska samana kaimi. Perhaps everybody would agree that if there's any disagreement, the almana is the muhsik. And she is in the right. They have to disprove her claim. So why is Rabbi Yehuda requiring her to keep a detailed record of the transactions? Nothing too serious. Rabbi Yehuda eats a toiva kamash malan. He's just trying to give her some good advice. So that people don't consider her a gluttonous woman. They won't want to remarry her. They'll say, wow, you sold all that stuff for Mezonos. Wow, you eat a lot. So it's better for her. If she details, if she describes, well, this is for Mezonos, the other thing was towards the ksuba. This way, they realize it's not all for food. That's all. Because if you don't agree with me that this is the reason for the detailing of the records, it's just for you know, to her benefit, for good advice, it doesn't have any legal ramification. If you don't agree with this theory, I have a question for you. This question posed by Rabbi Yechanan. You know, who's in possession and who's the one extracting, right? Who's the muhsik? Well, guess what? Tifshot lemi masnisen. I can have a clear raya to this question from a Mishnah. A Mishnah everybody knows. Why was Rabbi Yechon even questioning this halach? Mecheres lemezonos. Shloi bebezn. Mishnah says, an isha who needs to be fed, she can take properties, sell them off, even outside of Bezdin. She has a right to do that, because service, and she keeps a ledger. Elu lemezonos machati, I sold these assets for mezonos. Clear Mishnah. Instructs her to keep records. It would seem from here, if, in fact, keeping of records is pertinent in a legal context, in order to prove her case, then you have your answer to your question from a Mishnah. She's the one that has to prove her claim. They are the muhsik. So why did Rabbi Yechon even present this question? It's a Mishnah. Oh, so apparently you can't draw any conclusions from this Mishnah. True, we're telling her to keep a detailed record just for good advice, so that we know she hadn't really, you know, spent too much on the Zaynes. So it's a here as well, when it comes to our price. So perhaps the reason why Rabbi Yehuda requires detailing is just as an Eitz Teva, but it's unrelated to our question. Inami, here comes another Pshat Machlekes. Don't say it's dependent upon this question of who the Muchsak is. No. The Kuli Alma Nichsi Becheskas Yasmi Kaimi. Perhaps Everybody, even Rabbi Yossi, would agree that the Yisayim are considered the Muchzakim, and if she wants to take, she has to prove her case. V'hainu tamid Rabbi Yossi, why then does Rabbi Yossi say, just keep it vague, sell, but you don't have to detail? K'dabayik es shisha. It's based and it's related to something that Abayik es shisha tells us, in a different context, that it's best to keep things undefined and, unspecified. The Amar Abayik es shisha, Abayik es shisha tells us like this. Mashal de Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi tells the Isha just to sell stump. Don't explain why you're selling it. Don't detail it into the document. You know what that's analogous to? You know what the mashal to that too? You know what the comparison to that is? Mashal de Rabbi Yossi. What is it comparable to? Another halach. L'shchimra, person on his deathbed. Sh'amar, he announces as follows. You know, there's a fellow that I owe money to. A bal chayv. T'nu masayim zuz l'pleni bal chayvi. I have this bal chayv. Give him 200 zuz. Now, according to Rashi, we can perhaps speculate that he wanted to give him a gift. He wasn't just trying to pay up his debt. So now the Baal Chayv, he has the prerogative. He can decide to take this 200 zuz as part of his Chayv, towards the loan. Or he can say, look, no, this is my gift. The Chayv, the debt, well, I'll collect that from the departed fellow's customers from those properties. And if he wishes, he can take the 200 zuz, the actual money that's sitting here, towards his debt, post it towards the debt. Rotza, if he wishes, no, b'matanot noitlan, he can just take it as a gift. Why? In b'matanot noitlan, because if he chooses to take it as a gift, and he still leaves the entire debt balance outstanding, leikach yafakoicha, isn't that better for him? Because he can collect that from the lekuches, from the customers. You can't collect a gift from the lekuches. So by taking this towards the matona and allowing the loan to remain fully outstanding, that allows him to go collect from properties that were sold, that's better for him. Likewise, in our case, says Abayi Keshisha, the best thing is for the Isha to sell without explaining, without detailing why she's selling it. Why? Because, true, when it comes to her disagreement with the Yisayim, she'll have to prove that it was for Mizoinis. But when it comes to the lekuches, it's better for her to leave it undefined, because then she could just tell the customers, look, these things that I sold, that was for my daily fare, that was for my food, and I'm coming to you for the ksuba, because as we explained before, only ksuba can be extracted from customers, from lekuches. So once she leaves it undefined, she has that advantage. She can choose to consider her sales, what she sold, consider that for the mezonos needs, and that allows her to go to the lekuches to collect for the ksuba, because if she describes the sale as a sale for ksuba, then she won't be able to go back to the lekuches to collect, because you can't collect mezonos from lekuches. So it seems from the first that she's sort of selling it in an undefined way. I'm just selling it, whatever I need it for. And ultimately, she can sort of channel that sale towards the mezonos and allow the entire ksuba balance to be drawn from the lekuches, which is her right. Okay, so what do we learn today? We start with the halacha that an isha gives her metziah to the husband to avoid eva, but by the almana and the yisayim, that's not an issue. The almana should perform household chores, just like an isha to her husband. Fact is, she's being supported by the family, but we exclude those specific things which create chiba and closeness. The Talmud is meant to serve as Rebbe, and the Rebbe is meant to accept that service. It's actually a favor for the, it's a chesed for the Talmud. It brings him to the Yirah Shamay. So the Amana grabbed some things for the Mezonos. It works. What about for the Ksuba? According to Rava, according to Ravina, it does not work, because she could just go collect from the Lekuches for that purpose. We learned that an almana waits 2 or 3 years, she gives up on the mezonos, going back, but of course going forward she can still collect. We had a question presented by Rabbi Yechanan, who's considered the muchzak if there's any disagreement as per the mezonos. Right, then we had a braisa which seemed to be hinging on this question, and we pushed it aside. No, the braisa between Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yehuda revolves around different questions and unrelated to our shaila. Perhaps all agree that the almana is the muchzak. Perhaps all agree that the yisayim are the muchzak, and it seems that we still leave our question unanswered. All the best to you and hatzlacha rabba.